And when we think about God's word, we think about all the things that he's guided us in, there's a lot of error that is taught based upon the Bible. That's the way false teaching comes along. Maybe good intentions, but it becomes something that becomes contradictory to God's word, maybe from other places or just the harmony of the gospel. And we see such things in modern day dispensationalism. And there will be idea of there's to that dispensationalism, there are about seven different dispensations we can read about in the Bible. We've talked about that in earlier lessons. But some who want to come say, well, it's not about time or age, it's about covenants. And that's part of dispensationalism as well, that God made a covenant and he's not going to not follow through with that. A covenant to Abraham. And he said, well, we think that was done. I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to make your nation great. And I'm going to, the blessings of Abraham indeed are going to bless the generation to come. That's the Gentiles being saved. And we got Bible for that in Galatians, the third chapter. And now all Christians are Abraham's seed. We're inheriting all the promises given to him. We have no problem with that. But that's not the way they look at it. Some of those promises, like Israel is not a great nation like it's going to be in the millennium. And you begin to have these doctrines come in, and we don't know what all that means and how they get that. So I wanted to just take passages, and we're just going to deal with one this morning, that they use in order to show that all Israel shall be saved, meaning the nation of Israel will be saved. It means ethnic Israelites, not Greeks, not Gentiles. And the reason I say that is because they say all we do is just put those together in the church. There's a good reason for that. Jew and Gentile. Gospel is preached first to Jews, then Gentiles. Now we're one man in Christ. So there's reasoning for pushing back on that. But they say, no, there's promises that have not been fulfilled yet that are still in the future. And one of them, basics of the doctrine, is that all Israel shall be saved. Do you have Bible for that? Romans 11 and verse 26. So all Israel shall be saved. And we put the word end on there, as we see in the Old Testament, we see the King James translation, American Standard Version, so all and all Israel shall be saved. And they'll take that verse and realize, well, isn't that true? All Israel shall be saved. Meaning that indeed there's going to be idea of a great uprising of people being saved in the last days. But this is how they applied it. The national, ethnic Jews, not Gentiles, salvation is expected to occur following the rapture. He said, well, that's another doctrine we'll have to deal with. And at the close of the seven-year tribulation, you know, you had one. Yeah, we read about tribulations, and Daniel speaks about 7 weeks and all that. They picked this out. But it's going to happen following the rapture when Jesus takes off the people that are Christians. And what's left there, 7 years of tribulation, where it's going to be very much trouble. So the Christians escape all that. That's another issue. Where is God going to teach that? Well, it's rapture. We'll talk about that in future lessons. But the idea of the tribulation, that seven-year period, is when all of the Israel, that's when this passage is going to be fulfilled. All Israel shall be saved. There will be a great uprising of people coming to the Lord and being involved in his 1,000-year reign. That's another issue. The millennium, the 1,000-year reign. They get that from this verse, that indeed all Israel shall be saved. They'll get their land promise that was promised to Abraham from the Euphrates. Has he done that yet? And they have it built in Jerusalem. Jesus will be there. David's going to be renewed as a king. Some say, well, that's Jesus. And I say, yeah, in prophecy it is. But some say, no, David is going to be ruling with Jesus right there in Jerusalem. And all the Jews are going to be saved in that generation. And some say, well, not maybe all of them, but a lot of them. But all Israel? Why wouldn't it be everybody? So I want to examine this passage in its context to give us all a grounding and so show where they miss it at the end. And it's not going to be detailed because we're going to look at the scriptures. But what ethnic Israel is going to be raised to prominence, a newly honored place. They're going to be honored during the 1,000-year reign of Christ in Jerusalem. So a lot of things about that and anticipation that indeed the Jews, don't worry about the Jews. They're all going to be converted to Christ at the end. And ushering in that thousand-year reign. But we're not going to deal with that. That's just where their thinking is, coming from where they are. So I want us to go to Isaiah, the 59th chapter. Why would we do that? Because right after Paul says this, that all Israel shall be saved, he says, even as it is written. So I said, well, what has been written? We read this in our Bibles. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. So all Israel shall be saved. And even as is written. So let's look at Isaiah 59. Verse before and verse after, when we speak that, it said, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And that's the enemy of God's people in that context. And the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. The Redeemer will do God. The Redeemer is going to come out of Zion. And those who turn from transgression of in Jacob, says the Lord. And so he says that this Redeemer is coming. Jesus is coming. And they're looking at this as being to set up his thousand-year reign. But this passage, 750 years before Christ, is looking towards something. And the idea that the Redeemer will come out of Zion, the Jews will be turning from transgression in Jacob to the Lord. And then he says, as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My Spirit who is upon you, and my words which I put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time forevermore. So we're looking at, what about this covenant? All Paul does is mention there's a covenant with them. And when we go to Isaiah 59, we see, whether you're looking at the Spirit that anointed Isaiah to prophesy what he did, or this Spirit will be upon all the Jews. It should not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants. The mouth of your descendants, it's forevermore. This everlasting covenant of one is turning people from their transgressions, saving people from their sins. And he says, this is my covenant with them. Now, in Romans 11, he adds, when I shall take away their sins. I didn't read that Isaiah 59. All Paul said, the covenant. He expresses it's going to be eternal. Jacob, Israel's going to be turning to the Lord. Their sins are going to be removed and so forth. But Isaiah 27:9 is where we see about this of Israel, the idea of their sin being taken away. Therefore, by this iniquity of Jacob will be covered. By this iniquity, iniquity of Jacob will be covered. And this is all the fruit of taking away his sin. What will that fruit be? They'll put away their idolatry. You read the rest of the context. And yet they will indeed be turning to God. And the iniquity that's caused them to be going off into Babylonian captivity, that blast of east wind that came upon them. The reason they're turning is because they've gone into captivity and they're involved in turning from their sins because of this. They've learned, they've been disciplined, and now God is going to forgive them. We see that happening in Old Testament history as well. It was indeed fulfilled. But it's interesting how Paul puts together two passages of Scripture, as it is written, that are different Scriptures. Same prophet, but they compress these things together. Holy Spirit and God's people can do that, and those are inspired of God. They can do that, but he's bringing in what's happening in Christ. The covenant is your sins are going to be forgiven, Israel. He is trying to get them to see how important that is. And we start in chapter 11 and verse 1 of Romans. Did God cast off his people? God forbid. For I'm also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now we as Christians are seed of Abraham. Not all Israel is of Israel. There's an Israel people of God, the spiritual people that we are today. Paul's not speaking about the church. He's speaking about Israel in the flesh. I'm an Israelite. I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. God did not cast off his people, which he foreknew. He's speaking about the Israelites. So that context is right. But even as it is written, we just see someone coming out of Zion, and our sins are going to be forgiven, and he's applying that to the Jews. Of course, in Romans 11, he'll apply it to the Gentiles as well. But to say that this is important to the Jews, yes, it is. All Israel shall be saved. Why is that part? It's not talking about all Christians are going to be saved. No, I think it's the Jewish people. They're going to have that opportunity to be saved. Now, beginning in verse 17, we have to deal with a grafted olive tree. Got one here. Got that. That old stump looks kind of bad, but it's still the root. It still has life. And what you do in grafting, you want to take something that you would like to have. I don't want something to look like that trunk. But you may want to have a better type of olive tree. You can take the nourishment that comes from there, and you can graft it in, and it will produce like the olive tree you like it to be. Now, Paul uses that as an illustration about that distinguishes Israel from the Gentiles. There's a distinction being made. We don't lump them together, but that's what we saw in the church, and therefore this passage is for the Israelites. It is for the Israelites. But he's trying to show, as we shall see, that Gentiles, you have been grafted in. You're wild olive. And you've been grafted in the trunk of the true Israel, of the true olive. And we'll see, Paul says something that's against nature. Because you normally don't do that. You want to put the good stuff, but you connect it with a root that still has life in it. But you're going to produce a better brand of olive tree. And he says, this is not the way it happened. So we now begin to see the Jew and the Gentile talked about. Go this through this with me. Verse 16 that leads up to Romans the 11th chapter and verse 17. We'll notice he says, and if the first fruit is holy, so the lump is holy. And this is the part that we're looking at with grafting. If the root is holy, so are the branches. You'll produce after its kind. The first fruits, well, that's the lump. The rest of the fruits are going to be there to, they'll be good too. They'll be holy too. The character will be the same. But then we come to verse 17. But if some of the branches were broken off, and as we'll see in this context, that's the Jews. Now we're distinguishing from the Gentiles. If some of the branches were broken off, and thou, as he's writing to the Gentiles, being a wild olive, was grafted in among them and just become partaker with them of the root of the fatness of the olive tree. So that's what happened. We're going to graft the Gentiles in to the root. And they're wild olive. They're not true olive. That was in that trunk. There's wild olive. And he says, and then verse 19, something was broken off so that could happen. So wilt thou say that branches were broken off that I might be grafted in? Well, who was indeed the wild olive? But the broken off branches is Israel. Here's God's people, distinguished from the Gentile. Gentiles are grafted in. They're wild olive, grafted into the fatness of the root that is true Jewish people, brought forth, foreknown by God, his people. Did I cast off my people? The Jews? No. Well, they're lost. Yeah. And now he's speaking to do something with the Gentiles that he's writing to. And so what he says in verse 20, what is it about? Well, he said, they were broken off that I might be grafted in. You might say that, Gentile. We'll let you say that this morning. Well, by their unbelief were they, the Jews, broken off. And thou standest by thy faith. So we're focusing in, not on bloodline. We're focusing in on heart. We're focusing on their mind, their will, what their desire is, what their convictions are with truth, that spiritual part of them. And he's just focused on, you Gentiles are standing by your faith. Why were the Jews broken off? My people, why were that? How does Isaiah 59 open? God's hand is not slackened, it can't save. His ear's not heavy, they can't hear. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, Jews. to Israel, that's what has separated us. Your iniquities have. And then they go on in that chapter, leading up to verse 20, which is our passage. They're going up the idea of there's blood on your hands. There is no justice in your relationships. You don't desire for the truth at all. And he just speaks about all their sins, the Jewish people, and how God's wrath is going to come upon them. They'll be taken off, that east wind will blow through and take them off to captivity. But because of all this, they will turn to God. That's our verse 20. Indeed, verse 26. And that's, so Isaiah is talking about the sins of the Israel's people. Now, here is unbelief. The Jews that had opportunity to the gospel, they're not believing that. So he's illustrating, we're breaking them off, but who gets to be grafted in? The Gentiles. Now you begin to, the phrase, preach to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. The Jews rejected it, so we went to the Gentiles. That takes place in our Bible. In Acts, the 13th chapter is emphasized. Not thousand-year reign of Christ, not down the future. It has already happened. And Paul's writing about that concept that we have. Then we drop to verse 24. For if thou wast cut out of that which is by nature, a wild olive tree, and was grafted contrary to nature unto a good olive tree. That's the root of God and the root of that the people of God had as the Jews. He said, but it's contrary to nature. You were wild. That's what's against nature. You don't usually put a wild thing and we're going to make that up. You want a better quality. You want something that is a different quality than you had. But how do you do it? You graft. It's part of grafting trees. But he said he went against nature because they were God's people. Romans 11 is emphasizing that. They're God's people. But in verse 25, we notice what he says, For I would not, brethren, have you ignorant of this mystery, lest ye be wise in your own conceits, that a hardening in part have befallen Israel, the Jews. Not the Gentiles, the Jews, unto the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So this is going to be, you're out of favor with God, you're not being saved. Gentiles are now being saved because you're hardening of your heart in part. Not all the Jews were not receiving the gospel. We understand that, Acts 2, other places. But the fullness now is that here the Gentiles will fully be able to come into the kingdom, come into salvation. And we realize that was happening in Acts, the 10th chapter. That was happening. It's not something going to happen way in the future. It's happening at this particular time that Jews now had their opportunity with the gospel. Part of them were not believing it. The apostles go to the Gentiles. Jew and Gentile are being saved. But in this case, what's he saying is because he's going to hit at the pride that you might have as a Gentile. That's what he's writing about. So we pick up verses that we hadn't looked at. See if that's not true. You get that impression. When he says, by their unbelief were they broken off, and thou standest by thy faith, be not high-minded. Don't be gloating in the fact we are special. Do not be high-minded, but fear. Why? Verse 22, behold then the goodness and the severity of God. Toward them that fail, unbelief, severity. But toward thee, God's goodness, if thou continue in thy goodness, listen to this, otherwise you're going to be cut off. Don't be high-minded, Gentile. You're going to be cut off. Let me tell you something, verse 23. And they also, if they continue not in their unbelief, shall be grafted in. If they don't continue in what? Their unbelief. They shall be grafted in. And again. So he begins to realize God is able to do that. He shall be, for God is able to draft them in again. They can be saved. And so all Israel shall be saved. But we're looking at the Gentiles and the Jews and that gospel being preached and being rejected in unbelief. And they're going to stay in their unbelief and the severity of God's going to keep them separated. But when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, and indeed they're having their opportunity to be saved, then we'll find that all Israel going to be saved? Because they can be grafted in again if they come to the Lord. Well, dispensationally, that's going to happen in the end of the tribulation period when there's so hard times and people are turning to Jesus. That's going to happen then in premillennialism. Things are going to happen before the thousand-year reign. This is one of them. And people are excited about hearing that when they hear dispensationalist teaching. I'm excited to hear about it because it's about now. It's about now. Romans 11, 26, all Israel will be saved as it is written. Isaiah 59, Isaiah 27. Got that. Out of Zion is going to come forth one. They're going to be saved from their sins. Got that. And that was especially for the Jews. And I think this verse will be Israel, Jews, not Israel, the spiritual people of God called Christians, not the church. But all Israel shall be saved, as is written. Now, some of your translation, which was read this morning, King James says, so all Israel will be saved. But notice how it was read. That's just like in like manner. And likened unto this, shall all Israel be saved? It's not talk with Saul. The conclusion is, all Israel is going to be saved. No. In like manner, the Gentiles and the Jews are going to be saved. In the same manner, there's not a difference between them. It's a problem of unbelief or belief. And that's what we're going to see. So let's go back to Romans 11, chapter and verse 5, to see how the word soul is. And our translations, like the one we heard this morning, is understanding that. In like manner, same way, all those type of say, some of the translations have that concept, which I think is correct, but you're going to see why. Verse 11 and verse 5, we read, it's an even soul. So we got our word soul. Even so, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So what? Well, in like manner to what? Let's go to the verses before that. Know ye not, in verse 2, what the scripture saith of Elijah, how he pleadeth with God against Israel? Lord, they've killed thy prophets. They have digged down from thine altars. I've left them alone, and they seek my life. Elijah, speaking about his people, Jews, ethnic Jews, he felt like he was all alone. He was all alone. And what saith the answer of God unto him? I have left for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to Baal. Got 7,000 out of all Israel. It's called a remnant that have not bowed their knee. Elijah, you're not the only one. There is a remnant of God's people not bowing their knees to idolatry. Even so, in like manner, then at this present time, there's also a remnant according to the election of grace. What does the word soul mean in the context in which it is used? So all Israel is going to be saved. So what? In like manner as what has preceded before it. I got a remnant, Elijah. You think you're the only one? I got a remnant of people that have not bowed their knee. Elijah despondent, and that's how God was going to deal with him. Get him out of that despondency. I've got others there. In like manner, he's got a remnant today. And we've seen in earlier lessons that remnant includes Jew, includes Gentile. So in like manner, I've got a remnant. I've got a remnant in the days of Elijah. They're not going into idolatry. And I got a remnant today. Even so then, at this present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. So we see that word soul there, and we see Romans 11. Well, why can it be a like manner in verse 26? I think it is. That's what makes sense. Because we're saved by grace through faith and not works. And I put of law here. Because look at Romans 11 and verse 6. This is what Paul's saying in the context of Romans 11. But is by grace and no more of works. Therefore, grace is no more grace. So what was dividing them from the olive tree? Their unbelief. God's purpose of his grace was having a remnant of people. And at one time, they could have been part of that trunk, that olive tree trunk, and they could have life in there, but they were broken up because of their unbelief. So there's faith connected with God's grace, God's election. Through his purpose, there is a remnant. And how we become part of that is through faith. Not of works, here in Romans 11, 6, but we've seen in Romans the third chapter what he means by that. Because faith is a work. Actions we do are works. Baptism is a work. And confession is a work. We make that with our mouth. Well, those aren't works. Those are things that God does. You know, it's a gift. But what we realize is it's action that we do. But what kind of works was he condemning in Romans? We'll go back to Romans 11, the third chapter. And verse 27. Where then is the glory? It is excluded. By what manner of law? Of works? Nay, but by law of faith. We reckon, therefore, that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Because Abraham did a work, he believed. So we realize there's that discussion, but right now we see that Paul's condemning Jews. You can't be saved by the works of the law, the Old Testament. It's not going to save you. It never was designed to save you. It was there to realize that you need a Savior because you're not keeping it perfectly. And it's not going to be of works. It's going to be of my trusting in God. Therefore, I will submit to the conditions of being saved. Repent. Confess. Be baptized. What do I hear? How do I get my faith? The Word of God gives you that faith. But I'm joining a remnant that God's purpose had already elected for his purpose. And that's the people of God. And their unbelief, they're never going to come to God without Christ. They're just broken off. Gentiles, you got an opportunity. But don't let it go to your head. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works. If you start unbelief, you're going to be cut off. You will. And then secondly, God's mercy is offered now and for all. Look at Romans 11, after verse 26. Listen to what he says and how that works with our word soul, because we got another soul here. For as ye in time past were disobedient to God, who would that be? He's speaking to Gentiles. If ye in time past were disobedient to God, but now have obtained mercy by their disobedience, you now know what that is. The Jews, I will go to the Gentiles now. And you were able to be grafted in. It's against nature. Because that's my people, the Israelites. I have not cast off my people. That's what Romans 11 is about. But now have obtained mercy by their disobedience. Even so, that's the American Standard Version. Even so, have these also now been disobedient, Jews, that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now obtain mercy. What's he speaking about? It's about now. Of Jews turning from their disbelief to belief and showing that faith by coming back to the Lord. And then in verse 32, for God has shut up all unto disobedience. We all have sinned, haven't we? Romans 3:23. He shut up Jew and Gentile. He's making a conclusion where he says he shut up all unto disobedience that he might have mercy upon all. There he's given it, and now it's for all, and now it's now. That's how this closes. What do you mean to have mercy upon all on these vessels of disobedience? We saw this in Romans 9, 22 through 24. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering, vessels of wrath fitted unto destruction, and that he might have make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, like the Gentile, like the Jew, all have the mercy of God. They need that, which he had prepared unto glory. And he says, even so us, whom he called, not from the Jews only. Yeah, Romans 11 is emphasizing how they were taken out and how they can be put back together again in that tree. Not to Jews only, but also to the Gentiles. We're back to the people of God who comprise the remnant. In Romans 11, he's distinguishing Israel. That's why it's such a great passage. It's ethnic Israel. That's true. But the idea of soul as the idea of when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, all Israel's going to be saved. You know, a context. But after all that, is the mercy is now offered to all. You've both been disobedient. You're both vessels for destruction. The only reason you're in here, Gentiles, because you have faith in Christ. I can take you out again in old disobedience. But those same Jews, the disobedient, all Israel, all have opportunity to be saved. And he says, now it's being offered to them. It's not going to be in the tribulation period. That's down the road, which is invented by them for their purposes. But just looking at this part, when you get through reading that, how does he sum up how Romans 11 chapter, this wonderful plan of God, oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How do we know the tribulation period and the rapture period and all Israel is going to be saved somehow and they're all coming back to Jerusalem and they're going to go back under the old law. Dispensationalism. But what we have, how unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past trashing out. For who have known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor that he would save Jew and Gentile? And how we could be saved is what by the law of Moses? For who hath first been given to him shall be recompensed unto him again. We didn't deserve it. We're vessels of God's mercy because we all have been disobedient. We're all just snapped out of that root, thrown away. He says, for to him, verse 36, for of him and through him and unto him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. He speaks to the Gentiles, but he hits the Jews. And said, Jews, you can be grafted in again, but you're going to have to come the route of belief. And that's going to have to become through Jesus Christ. So there's nothing here to say it's not being taken place in the first century. Jew and Gentile were being saved by the same gospel. They were becoming one man in Christ. They were vessels of mercy, both Jew and Gentile, and they become the people of God. That fact is there too. How could that not be here? As he still speaks to ethnic Jews and Gentiles. The whole point is that in like manner that indeed they're going to be able to come to God in the fullness of the Gentiles, those of you who are in part that have disobeyed God, you have an opportunity so all Israel can be saved in the like manner in which the Gentiles have. And all of a sudden, that doctrine doesn't have this as a basis. We have it to realize we need to be working to spread the gospel to everybody, Jew and Gentile. And those in the audience this morning that are not Christians yet, you're a vessel fitted for our destruction because if you don't believe in Christ, that's the condition you're in. But I'll tell you one thing, those who believe in Christ, Romans 11 is hitting us in the eyes, when our minds, when we think, well, we're okay, we're Christians, we got it made. No, we don't. We got to remain faithful. If we go our route of unbelief, we will become branches that are thrown aside. Don't be high-minded. God is able also to put those people in that are disobedient and Jewish people. They put them back in the gospel, but it's not through the law of Moses. It's going to be through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus comes back again, they'll call it the second coming, but what they mean, he's coming to reign 1,000 years. In future lessons, we'll deal with that. He's going to come the second time, apart from sin, because he died for our sins. He's the one that's come out of Zion to save us, Jew and Gentile. And when that day comes, it will be judgment time. It won't be, hey, I'll wait to tribulation, I'll get right. Or I'll wait to the 1,000-year reign, and I'll be converted. I'll know it then. What we can say is that, where does the Bible teach that? Men teach it. But one of the passages that said this is the truth, this is the final things, that's talking about ethnic Israel, it is. But it's showing that the Gentiles were only there grafted into that one olive tree. There's the unity, Jew and Gentile together. It is all through Christ. So all Israel be saved. The word soul means like manner, likewise, in that same way, shall indeed these disobedient be saved, just like the other disobedient will be saved. And to me, that harmony of God's word, and I believe it's the truth. If you're outside of Christ, how people came to Christ in Acts, the second chapter, as the apostles were predominantly speaking to the Jews, he told them to repent and be baptized, and they asked, what shall we do to be saved? And they that received the word were baptized. When they heard to repent and be baptized, they did that. They received the word. And they added to them that day about 3,000 souls. Then we come to Acts, the 10th chapter. On both occasions, God baptized Jesus baptized in the Holy Spirit baptism, where people spoke in tongues. It's interesting, Acts 2, the apostles had that ability upon them. It wasn't the people. But Acts 10, the people. Household of Cornelius had that come upon them. And all that was pointing them that they too have repentance unto life. And he commanded them to be baptized too. Ethiopian eunuch, he was a proselyte. He's coming back from worshiping in Jerusalem all the way back to Ethiopia. God cares about one soul. And he put Philip in that chariot with him. He was reading Isaiah 53 about the Lamb of God, the one that's coming, the one that's going to come out of Zion. But in Isaiah 53, that Lamb of God, and Philip preached unto him Jesus. And they both went down to water when he heard Jesus preached. And he was baptized. He went on his way rejoicing. That's the way it is in the New Testament, whether you're Jew or Gentile. And we're not high-minded at all. But what plead, do not let the opportunity go by when you have an opportunity to be saved by the blood of Christ. And we can do that for you this morning. As we stand and sing, please come.